Can you hear me good? Can you hear me now? I tell you what, God is good. He's an awesome. Awesome. That's right, Pastor. Absolutely good all the time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let me pray, and then we'll get into the Word. I've got some things that God wants me to unpack, and probably going to be spending a little bit more time in this particular Scripture than any other, because I believe that God's got a lot of things to say to us and wants to reveal to us. So, Father, right now, in the name of your Son, Jesus, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to minister the Word of life, Father, the Word, Father, that's full of life, full of power. We thank you, Lord, that it's anointed, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, and praise you, Heavenly Father God, that we have ears to hear, hearts to receive, and Father God, that we have eyes to see it, Heavenly Father God. We thank you for the Spirit of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you make me a minister of flame of fire. Help me to minister this word tonight that it might bring grace to the hearer and faith will arise. In the name of Jesus. Are y'all wondering what I got in my little package? I had to tear down my bicycle to get to this. What do you think about it? This is an object lesson, okay? This right here represents the body of Christ. This wheel is made up of what they call in the center here a hub. Y'all see that? Then there's spokes that comes out. And then this outer rim is what the bicycle rides on. The whole structure of this is based on how strong your hub is, because everything rides on it. Okay? Now, I'm going to be talking about being one, oneness, being in unity, being in harmony. Okay? See this as your... I want you to think about this as I minister tonight. This hub is the Word of God, which is Jesus. Okay? This, the spokes, are individual members. All together, we make up the entire body of Christ. So you think about that. Then later on, we'll get into another part. I don't know if I get there or not. But the Bible talks about how that God has set him in the church. He set us all in the church as he pleased him. But he also gave gifts unto men. And he set them in the church, first apostles, then prophets, then evangelists, then pastors, and then teachers. So you can also think of this not only as the members, but you can think of it as the fivefold ministry, okay? Now, the Bible says that they are for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the whole body, until we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full, the perfect measure of the fullness of the measure of Christ. Christ is not only the anointed one, but Christ is the anointing. It's the very power of God. That anointing resides in us as believers. Amen. So you can say that we, as members of the body, are the body of Christ's anointing, the body of God's anointing. So there's a reason why that he wants us to have unity in this body. Amen. Again, remember, the strength is in this hub. Everything comes from it. The support of this system comes from it. So our support comes from Jesus, who is the Word. Amen. And it's God. So at the very core of us, even as a church, is the Lord. Amen. I hope I can get my bicycle back together, because I got to get my exercise. Are you in John 17? Let me say this. You know, here lately we've had some controversy, confusion, even some disharmony. And over the elections, and I'm not going to get into the elections and the things that happens there. But God had an appointed David for us at this time in President Donald Trump. But here's the thing about it is, there was a lot of disharmony and a lot of disagreement. It even come into families. It even come into the church. But here's going to be the thing, and you're going to see this when we read it. The world will be the world in their thoughts and in their desires. They're lost. They don't know God. Amen? But, and that is a big, well, I can't say that. Big but. It's a but. I mean, the body of Christ should represent and reflect God's thoughts and deeds in our actions, in everything that we say and everything that we do, in all the choices, whether we agree, our family agrees with us or not, or whether the Republicans or Democrats agree with us or not, you know, our right here, our life comes from that hub. Our thoughts, our actions come from that hub. God has intended for the church to be a totally separate people. Separated. Supposed to be better than the world. And I know a lot of religion don't like to hear that. But he says that I will make you a holy nation. And I will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. When he says I'll set you on high above all the nations of the earth, he means all. And he says in another place there, I believe it's even in, I know that's in Deuteronomy, but again, we have a high position. We are God's heritage here in this earth. We are the body of Christ anointing. And our representation needs to be seen in politics, in economics, in education, in entertainment, in sports, in every area of our life. And, you know, the church, for whatever reason, and I think a lot of it has to do with religious or religiosity and even sometimes the way that our families have raised us, is not to be involved in these things because it's worldly. Well, before it was worldly, it was godly. Amen? From the very foundation of the world. God set everything up to be. Pastor Ed was talking about the tithe, and he talked to Adam in the garden. He told him, he said, you can eat of every tree in the garden except this one tree. That's mine. Bring me the fruit. That was your first tithe. That's the blessing connection. Amen. So that represented economy. Amen. Because if you bring what is God's, and it's a hallowed thing, you'll be blessed. He said, everything else you touch will be blessed. Every food or every tree in this garden will produce fruit after its kind. It'll be your food. Amen. So keep that in mind too. The world will be the world. They'll act like the world. The world will hate you because they hate Christ. You've seen that playing out today. They're trying to silence the entire body of Christ. They're trying to shut us down and to deem us unnecessary. All of the attacks, I mean, it's not against Muhammad. It's not against any other religion. It's against Christianity. And the reason why that Christianity is under attack is because it's the standard. We'll find that out here in just a little bit too. So you've been raised up as a standard in your family, in your community, in this church, in this area. And then together, we come into this place to effect a change in this area. To change the economy. To change people's mindsets. To demonstrate that Jesus is the Christ. He is the anointed one. So therefore, again, it's this part right here. But the body. Say, I'm part of the body. Say, I'm a member of the body. The body of Christ. The body of the anointing. Come on, stay with me now. And I represent. And I reflect God's thoughts and deeds. That means I act like Him. Actually, one of the, I guess, the interpretation of Christian is little Christ. Religion don't like that either. You're actually little Christ. You're little anointed ones. And the reason why he says it's your little, it's not that it's stature or anything like that. It's because we're subordinate under Christ Himself. Our life comes from Him. Remember the hubs. Amen. So if you're at John 17, let's turn to, and this is Jesus now. And the reason why I started here is because when the Lord dropped this into me and gave it to me, He said, I want my body to be one. And when you think about it, it says, let us be one. Do you remember in Genesis where it says, let us make man? The translations of that and the renditions of that is that it wasn't just something that God, the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus just said, I think we need to make a man. I mean, it wasn't anything like that. No. From the very foundation of the world, God had it in His heart to have you and me as His family. And instead of it being, well, let's just make man, He said, no, man be. Man be like me. Man be in my image and in my likeness. So here He's saying, be one. So that's more of a commandment than it is an option. You know, if you're a part of the body of Christ, you need to take on God's thoughts, God's actions, and God's deeds so that we can be one. Now, one of the things that I'll be looking at here and maybe spend a little bit more time on it, for a long time, denominations, they're not things that bring us together. They're things that separate us. They bring division. And the way that God had intended with each revelation that came from the Wesley boys and, you know, came from the different founders, instead of them stopping there and camping and making a campground out of it and building up a denominational wall, said we can't go no farther, God wanted to build upon every individual one. Which the new birth, living by faith, baptism in the Holy Ghost, healing, prosperity, it was meant to bring us together to make us one. One of the things, like I said, we'll probably get into is that, and I don't know if I introduce it now. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and do that. And I've said it myself. And I got to thinking about it. It just didn't sit well, didn't sit right in my spirit. Well, I've had discussions with family members. And, you know, I don't argue, but, if they're going to state their point, I'm going to state a biblical valid point. So some of them didn't like it, but, and they come across this way. Well, let's just agree to disagree. I've said that. I've used that. No. That's a deception. Somebody's wrong. Somebody has to be wrong. Because right here, the standard, the Word of God. Let me go ahead and read John 17. And maybe we can bring that point out a little bit better. Jesus was getting ready to be crucified and to offer Himself up for the sins of the world, to redeem mankind, to bring us back from the curse to the blessing, to bring us back to a prominent position from the low life to the high life, to bring us back into a place of fellowship and union with Him. Union is another word that we're talking about being one. It's the fact that Jesus Himself said that I'll go to my Father and I'll prepare a place for you. But here He knows He's getting ready to go. The disciples, they may or may not know. I don't think they knew. But He has a prayer that He's going to pray for them. And I'm going to pick it up in verse 11. Okay. You can leave that there. But I'm going to go ahead and start in verse 11. And now, I am no more in the world. But these are in the world, talking about His disciples. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. I want you to notice how many times that this is said and brought out in John chapter 17. So it must be very important. Amen. Jesus Himself said in two or three different places, He said, you know, I don't come to do my will. I don't come to do my own thing. You know, I come to do my Father's will. I come to fulfill everything that's been spoken because of God's great love for mankind. He said, it's not my will to be done, but it's thy will to be done. You all were singing the song, or we were singing the song a while ago. Not my plans, not my purpose, basically, not my vision, but his vision. We're too busy trying to do our own thing, and the church has gotten into that rut. God doesn't necessarily want us to do our own thing. The song says we've been bought with a price. Jesus has bought and paid for us, spirit, soul, body, family, financially, socially, and otherwise. Now that's not to say that you can't think or be an independent thinker, but what needs to be predominant in our thinking is the Word. What does the Word say about particular subjects and particular things? And that's where your thinking and your opinion needs to come from. And we're going to find out that what's going to bring us together and make us one is us agreeing and coming together. The plumb line, the standard, the old plumb lines, they used to have, I guess, a weight on the bottom and a string. And they'd hold that up, and that would be vertical. You know? So everything was measured from that vertical. That's the same thing with us. The Word of God represents the truth. It's the vertical. It's the standard. So every opinion, every thought, every imagination, every action, every intent needs to be based on what that Word says. I've always said this, and I know some people got mad at me one time, and I said, you know, there's two sides to every story, but then there's the truth. And it's been said everybody's got opinions, but some of them stink like everything, like another part of the body does. But like I said, our opinions need to be measured up with that plumb line. Let me continue. He says in verse 12, he says, while I was with him in the Word, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou givest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things speak I in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So being together in unity with the Lord, you'll have Jesus' and God the Father's joy fulfilled in you. Let's drop on down to verse 16, or verse 15, really. And he says, I pray not, there you go, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Notice this verse. The first thing I wanted you to notice was that they may be one as we are one, unity. The next thing is, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know what the word sanctify means? Raise your hands if you do. Sanctify means to be set apart for holy use. Amen. So I wrote this down. It says, it actually means, I can't pronounce the Hebrew word, but anyhow it says oneness, concord, agreement, and it denotes a people drawn together for a common purpose. And the original design is for the family of God to represent God here on the earth and conduct His business here on the earth so that His will be done here on the earth as it's going on in heaven. The church has never gotten hold of that yet. They're trying to do their own denominational thing, or they're trying to do their own mindset. But it's God's mindset. And if we'll set ourselves to do that, our joy will be fulfilled. We won't be robots. Can you say amen to that? Do you understand what I'm saying? And he says this, in that sanctify is to set apart a person or a thing dedicated to the holy purpose. It actually means to separate a people from the world who are dedicated to be holy and a representative of God. And the Bible teaches us that we are His representatives. We are His ambassadors. We're the ones who are to conduct business here on the earth. Not our business, His business. And when we put Him first, everything else is going to come in line. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you.
Amen.
Amen. So he's still talking about sanctification, and he's talking about being in unity and being in one. Verse 20, I like this one. Says, neither pray I for these alone. Thank God he just wasn't praying for his disciples at the time. But he says, I pray for them, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Well, that word has been going on for a long time, and now it's in this time. We're here for a specific time and a specific purpose. This is our time to shine. This is our time to represent the kingdom of God. And in order to do that, I like what John said. He said, I must decrease and he must increase. You know, when you put aside your personal desires and you put God first, do you realize that when you do his desires, that he says, I'll give you the desires of your heart? So you're not going to be unfulfilled. You know, God's not so unrighteous. I mean, he's not a dictator sitting up in heaven saying, you better be like this or you won't get nothing. You know, you won't get no supper for dinner or dinner for supper. Well, whatever. You won't get nothing to eat for supper. Amen. You won't be healed. You know, you won't be blessed financially. Your house will burn down. Your dog will run off. I'll kill your kids. I've heard all kinds of junk growing up, coming up through the church. Junk. Not the truth. Amen. So he didn't not only pray for his disciples, but he said, I pray for those that will receive the word. My testimony. That they all may be one. Say all. Now do this. So that means me. That means them. That means us-ins. We-ins. All of us. That all of us may be one. God's got a direction. He's got a course. And in this course, he's established blessings. I mean, he's established things for us to not only inherit, but to have. Amen. The course is for us to, like I said, to conduct and do his business here on the earth. Amen. That's to relate to everybody that Jesus has redeemed us from the curse. And that whosoever will could be saved. But you know, a lot of churches stop right there. They say, once you're saved, that's it. No. There's a progressional growth in grace and in the things of God to where you come to know who you really are in Christ Jesus. And being grown up and mature, you start putting away childish things. And instead of sinning every day, you don't have to sin every day. Because you're not following after the carnal flesh or the old man that you used to be, but you're coming and following after his spirit, after the new creation, putting God into your equation. Amen. Now, I don't know if I have time to relay this, but in your families, men are the head of the house. That's not saying that we're dictators either. But you have a plan and a responsibility to teach your children. To grow them up. And as I said before, our schools are full of, I'm going to say crap. They teach a lot of things about DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. That's not God. The way you get included into God is you realize that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. And you come to him, and he makes you somebody. Amen. He makes you the body of Christ. So, what I started to say there to finish that statement, regardless of what's being taught in the classrooms, you have a responsibility to teach your family the truth and to see that they follow the truth. Amen. Say amen or oh me. Now, verse 21, again, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in them. Is that the second time that it says that they all may be one? And that they also may be in me in us, and that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one. That's the third time. Even as we are one, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. That's the fourth time. That the world may know that thou hast sent me. That word perfect means to be grown up. Means to be mature. It means to be one. It means to be complete. Amen. So, I've said this. God has a lot to say about unity, and unfortunately the world does too. And so does religion. So it comes down to the choice of each individual Christian in here. Do I do my thing? Do I do the world's thing? Or do I do the God thing? Do I set myself in agreement with God's word? And do I vote His way? Do I set myself in agreement with God's word? And I'll even say this. This might upset some a lot of religious people too. And this was a tough lesson for me to learn. You know, the world has a way, and it's called the Babylonian system. And it's a system of debt. God wants you to be debt free. He does not want you to be a slave to debt. Now, for years, I kept refinancing my house and kicking the can down the road, realizing that that debt just kept getting kicked down the road. It wasn't being paid off. So you can't live in debt either. So what do you do? The Bible talks about God's system of seed time and harvest. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. That is the system of God. That's the government of God. Seed time and harvest. Amen. Do you know that the Bible talks about that a person is servant to the lender? In other words, you become a slave. And if you've got debt, I'm not really jumping onto you because I've got debt, but I'm paying it off. I've determined in my heart I'm not doing that no more. I'm coming out of debt. Amen. I'm giving my way out of debt. I'm sowing here, sowing there, sowing in Bible ministry, sowing in this church, sowing in this community. And I expect to be brought out of debt. Amen. In other words, instead of trusting the world system, instead of trusting in that system, we need to put our trust in God's system. That's His way. That's where you look at your own particular life, and if there's areas in your life that's not in agreement with the Word, then you've got to come up to a place and say, I need to be doing this instead of this. My trust needs to be in God. My trust needs to be in the Word. But we've been raised up so long in this world system, even in the church, you know, that we go ahead and we perpetuate things on down. Can you all agree with me on that? You don't have to, but, you know, it's the biblical way. And again, you know, we're talking about achieving biblical unity. Now, that's what's going to make the entire body of Christ one. If you have a problem with being born again versus water baptism, then you need to read the Scriptures. Because it teaches repentance before water baptism. If you have a problem with being baptized in the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues, then you need to look at five or six examples there in the book of Acts where they prayed for them, they received the Holy Ghost, and in all of those cases, everybody spoke in tongues. That's the heavenly language. Amen. If you have a problem with healing, and it's been taught that God will heal some and not others, that would make God a respecter of person, wouldn't it? Okay. It's God's will to heal all. Jesus said He healed all that came to Him. All of them. Every single one of them. The key to it was they came to Him. Amen. They believed Him. They set themselves in agreement with Him. Even though I'm sure that the one lady was being kicked around in the crowd trying to crawl through and get her healing because she said, if I can touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made whole. So it was by her faith. Amen. And the Bible also teaches prosperity. And it does include financial prosperity. Amen. Prosperity is to excel, do well in every area of your life, spirit, soul, body, family, financially, socially, and otherwise. It means to excel, to stand out. Did you know that the body of Christ was meant to stand out? Because right now it's reversed. The world's standing out, and the church is looking at the world and saying, I want what they got. I want that. I want that. I want that. It should be reversed. The world should be looking at the church because we're living by the Word and setting ourselves in agreement with Him, putting God first, and He's giving us the desires of the heart. And they should say, man, I want what they got. I've seen them go through hell, but they're still standing. I've seen cancer attack Rick, but he's still standing. I've seen that on several of you all too. The attacks, the onslaughts that the devil tries to do to keep you away from God, but you're victorious, you know. Religion says that you're a worm. You're a nobody. God's Word says you're somebody. You're my child. That means something to me when Jeremy's sitting there. That's my child. Colin is my seed too. Amen. So that's my child. And you're God's child. You're a representative of the best. You're His best. So, again, it's up here. As a man perceives or as a man thinks in his heart, that's the way he is. The world wants you to think like they do because it brings you down to the low life. I used to be a low life, but now I'm a high life. Amen. You're not a low life anymore. The devil would have you to believe that you're a low lifer. You're going to be a low lifer all your life. And you ain't going to get out of this world. And you're not going to have any victory. You're not going to have any joy. You're not going to have any peace. The devil's a liar. And every time he starts bringing stuff to me, I said, shut up. You're already lying. And get under my feet, under my heel. He ain't on my back. And he ain't on your back. Again, I'm talking about unity. I'm talking about oneness. I'm talking about this right here. We're supported. Our foundation is Jesus, the hub. Amen. Everything, our directives, everything that we say, everything that we do should be based and made from the Word of God. Then we become members of this one unit. How many agree with that? That's a unit. Amen. So that we can do what God's called us to do. Again, I hope I can get my bicycle back together. Let's look at something else here, okay? I started to get into it a while ago, but it's to agree to disagree. Now, where does that leave you? Where does that leave an individual? Agree to disagree. Now, if you don't want to argue, don't argue. You know, if they don't want to hear you, let them walk out, or you walk away. But to agree to disagree on the subject of the Word of God, no, somebody's wrong. So study the Word. The Bible says to study to show yourself approved, a workman unto God, rightly dividing the Word of truth. That's the problem with the church. They don't study. They tend to whatever the fivefold ministry says, and that's good. You got to have the pastor, you got to have the preacher, the teacher, the apostle, and the prophet, and you got to hear the Word. But there's an area in your own life where that you have to establish the truths, truths, plural, the truths of the Word of God. You have to know that for yourself. You can't depend on pastor all the time. You can't depend on your wife all the time. The Bible says your own confession. When you got saved, how'd you get saved? Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10. Again, you're agreeing with the Word. Basically, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It doesn't say you'd feel anything. It doesn't say that a burden would be lifted off of you. You may have that experience, you know. It just says, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, another verse of Scripture says. So that applies to every area of faith. Whether it's for financial prosperity, financial breakthrough, whether it's for deliverance, whether it's for healing, whether it's for salvation. With your heart, you believe that promise, but you've got to know the promise. So that means you've got to crack open the book. Or at least put it on CD or DVD or on your device and listen to it, but you have to watch out for AI. The AI is going to be a spoiler. It might be a good thing now, but AI is going to be a spoiler. At some point, when the Antichrist, it's time for his time to come and set up the throne, the AI has already got people, so to speak, brainwashed into believing that he knows everything. We've even had examples of pastors having an AI set up their church or set up their sermon that they're going to preach. What about the Holy Ghost?
Yeah, come on.
AI is okay, but there's no substitute for the Holy Spirit. There's no substitute for coming into the presence of God and saying, God, what did you say?
Yes.
Amen. Now, the AI is going to change the Bible. They're rewriting it. They're trying to rewrite it now to be all-inclusive, to include every, not just denominations, but every creed, color, every church, to make it sound so good. And the Bible says if it was possible, he would even deceive the very elect. So use your AI wisely. Use Google wisely. Use your devices wisely. I'm not telling you not to use it, because it can be used for a good purpose. But just know this. It can. Don't let it lead you astray. Get into the Word. Know it for yourself. I like Pastor Ed. There's no substitute for this written Word. There's no substitute for it. So whatever you do, don't throw away your Bibles. Amen? Let's see. Okay, we've established the standard. The Word of God is the standard of measure. And I held up an imaginary plumb bob, the vertical line that you measure everything by. Therefore, it should be on all things, all subjects, and all decisions. We've established that. Some of those other things, other subjects that the world teaches, and it has even filtered into the church, is abortion. Right or wrong, it's wrong. It's murder. It's Baal worship. It's about the money. But it's about taking children's life. This, and the Bible talks about the children being God's heritage. It's about mutilation of children, changing their sexes, getting them away from their parents in schools and trying to put in their little minds that they're not a boy when they are a boy, according to DNA, or that they're not a girl, but according to the DNA they are, and tell them it's okay, and give them sex-altering drugs that would change them. That's not right, but some of the church believes that it is. That's not what God says. LGBTQ. Again, you're going back into a lot of the DEI. You know, God loves them. God loves every one of them. The lesbian, the transgender, the queer, the gay. He loves them all. But he don't love sin. And the Bible calls it a sin. It's an abomination. It's a trap that the devil has set for them to steal their identity, because God has something better planned for their life. But because they've been steered away through the lust of their flesh, you know, maybe had one little experience and say, ooh, that felt good. Well, yeah. Well, your body has passions too. And you got to keep your body down. But what I'll go ahead and say this. I won't elaborate there. But it talks about, even today, the breaking down of traditional marriage. Marriage, according to God, is between one man and one woman. Not two women, not two men, not a man and a horse, or a woman and a horse, animals. And how about the traditional family? The Bible has, and sets it up this way, man is the seed giver, woman is the seed receiver. And then when they come together, they produce an offspring. Amen? Okay. Having said that, two men lying together cannot produce seed. Two women lying together cannot produce seed. So the Bible says in Romans, that's the reason why nature says it's a shame. Because they cannot produce seed. They're trying to. They're doing experimentations called transmutation, transhumanism. They're doing that. They were doing that back in Hitler's time. That's the reason why he did a lot of things that he did to the Jews. Because he realized that the Jews had God's DNA in them. Okay, I'll let you think about that one. So these are some of the subjects. These are some of the things. But for the church to come in line with the Word of God and to take on God's thoughts and got what God says, man, we would be a powerful force if we did that. Amen? The standard is God's Word. If we want to achieve biblical unity, you and I must agree with God and His Word first, as set forth by Jesus Christ. And then we will have unity. I've not been paying attention to the time. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, especially verse 18, 27, and 28, we can read every bit of that. Let me get there. I'll take just a little bit more time, maybe mention a few more things. But I believe I'm bringing into your understanding there, at least into your thinking, the precedent of the Word of God and the things that God has set forth. Can you all agree with that? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now I'm a teacher. My anointing is slow roll. My anointing is, it's like a faucet. If you've got a rock, I think I said this the last time, but if you've got a rock underneath that faucet, or a concrete block sitting there, and you turn that water on full force, it'll just sit there and splash off of it. But if you turn that spigot, where it just sits there and steadily drips, 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 it'll break that rock. It'll break that concrete block. And that's what the Word of God does. That's what a teacher does. Amen. Say amen. It is. That's the way it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I said verse 18, and basically what that says is that he set them in the church as it pleased him. Members in particular, for the body of Christ is one member, not many. Let's go to verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Again, he's telling us that you're the members of the body of Christ. This is something that I feel like that God wanted us to put in our memories, in our minds, and in our thinking. You know, a lot of people, they can see the body of Christ as the church and see themselves as the church. But are you actually seeing yourself as someone who carries the anointing of God? The burden removing, the yoke destroying power of God? That, I mean, even with that knowledge and that understanding, I don't want to step outside of that. I don't want to hinder the anointing of flowing in my life as a family. Or if I come in contact with somebody that they're very deeply needing prayer, I want to be able to pray for them and have the gifts of the Spirit operating in me. So if there's something particular that I need to know about them, the Holy Spirit will reveal it. Amen? So here we go. We know that we're the body of Christ. And I've already said it, but I'm going to say it again because it bears repeating. And God set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and he goes ahead to say after that miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diverse. Not only does it cover the fivefold ministry, but it covers helps, things that undergird the body of Christ in the church. Gifts, different gifts. People have different gifts of healings. So not only is this members, the spokes here, but it's also the ministry gifts. And therefore, the perfecting of the saints for the working of the ministry until we all, and the edification of the body of Christ until we all come together in unity of faith. So, Our goal, our destination is unity of the faith before the Lord comes back to take the church home. Amen. Let me mention just a few more things, then I'll quit because I don't want to belabor a point, but I do want to bring this into our thinking. In 2 Corinthians 4:13 and 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, they basically say the same thing. It talks about us having the same spirit of faith in 4:13, 2 Corinthians 4:13, according as it is written. Notice that, according as it is written. Not what family teaches, tradition teaches you, denomination teaches you, you know, the Word. Everything comes back to that hub. It comes back to the Word. You're rooted and grounded and settled in the Word of God. The Bible says that you are complete in Him. He is the Word. And it says, because we have that same spirit of faith, He does not want to have a schism in the body. You know what a schism is? It's a disharmony. It's a separation. A schism. No ism, no schisms. Amen? In the Word, or in us as a body. He doesn't want anything in the body of Christ that is not directly from the Word of God. And then he goes ahead to say, because we have the same spirit of faith, and it's based on what's written, we can all speak the same thing. Amen? We all speak the same thing. As it is written, therefore I speak. Right? I mean, I'm not quoting it necessarily right, but I believe it because it's been written, and therefore that's what comes out of my mouth. That's why it says, speak the Word of God only. Sometimes we magnify a problem more than we do the Word, or we magnify that problem or situation that we're going through. We make it bigger than God because we're sitting here with our mouth and we're looking at a mountain of debt, or we're looking at a mountain of sickness. We've got bad news. Cancer is going to take you out. Your child's hooked on drugs. Anything like that. But you're looking at that, and you're looking at it through the eyes of a natural person instead of the eyes of a supernatural person that God has made you to be. You're looking at it through a carnal mindset instead of the spiritual mindset. When you're in the spirit and you're in your spiritual mindset, you have an agreement with God. And the Bible says, where two of you on earth agree on any one thing, it'll be done for you. I'll give it to you. Amen? So I'm going to quit right there. I think it's a good place to quit because we are the body of Christ. We are one. God has made us to come together as one. Amen? So we need to agree together as one. And the Word of God is what's going to bring us together, the unity of faith. So check yourself, and that's what the Lord told me to do, just have you to check yourself, check your life, not just tonight, not just today, but every day. Look and see, is there an area that I can come more aligned in and with the Word of God? And we should. If we want all that God has for us, then we should want all of what God says is written in His Word. Amen? All right, stand up with me. Say, I love you, Rick. No, don't do that. Say this, I am. I am.